Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from veto to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 25th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing good, Taryn. I'm very excited to be back once again to talk live feeds. More importantly, find out who nominated who for Have Nots this week.
Yes. Very important stuff here. We are here to tell you everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 51 in the house, and we had an eviction and a new HOH and a new plan. So we're going to get to it all. It's going to be great, Pooya.
Oh yeah, I'm very excited. Fridays are always a good
time. Yes. Yes. Pooya, your mic is a little funny.
You can't hear me?
I don't know, it's just like dropping off a little bit.
Is it better now?
Yes, I think so.
Phenomenal. Okay, I think we fixed it.
Okay. There we go. You gotta fix mics sometimes. Sometimes there's an outcome during the HOH that just makes your mic not want to work.
Exactly. Sometimes your mic's like, hey, why are we doing this? Why are we here?
Yeah. It is a little low.
It's still a little low? Okay. Interesting.
There you go. That's better. Closer to the mouth. That's better.
All right. You got it.
There we go. Let's talk about what happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. Before the eviction, we had Enzo talking to David. So we're finding more out about what was going on while the feeds were down for the wall yeller. David is saying that it took a wall yeller for Day to apologize to me. So we got more confirmation that the wall yeller did expose Nicole's vote, and that David got an apology from Devon.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's sad that it had to come to that, for David specifically as well. Like, David at this point feels like, hey, have I not been around you the whole time? You know, like, he feels like, why didn't you believe me? And he feels bad about all that. But also, again, Taryn, it's not been said enough. It has. I'm going to say it again. Stop it. Stop going to the wall. Stop yelling your nonsense. Let the game be the game. Wherever the chips fall, they fall. Stop upsetting the apple cart. Stop trying to get clout on Twitter. It is not worth it. It is upsetting. Stop it.
Yeah, apples are good. Don't mess them up.
Exactly.
I don't know where that phrase came from. The apple cart.
Apple cart? It's like, is it because, like, I always thought because, like, you know, it's kind of like rusty or old, it might like just fall apart kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's how I assume it is.
I don't know if I ever had a... I picture like the uncle guy from Avatar. Or not him. No, the cabbage guy.
The cabbage guy.
Yeah, the cabbage cart is always getting messed up.
Well, then I feel like that would be kind of be the same, right? Like, that's the whole thing is that the apple cart is fragile.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
People know what I'm talking about.
The real ones know what Taryn's saying right now.
Enzo, let me tell you, Enzo has been sitting on some information all season long. When he was HOH, Devon was trying to get David nominated via Enzo. And Enzo has wanted to tell this to David for so long, but Tyler and Cody kept telling him, don't tell David, he can't keep a secret. When we told him that Devon was campaigning against him in the previous week, that he exposed that to Devon. He trusts Devon too much. You can't tell him this. He will tell Devon. And so Enzo has been like, okay, yo, that's it. Okay. And then a couple of weeks ago, he's like, yo, Tyler, yo, I feel like it's the right time, yo. I think I should tell David that I was keeping him safe that week, that Devon was going after him, yo. That's it. And Tyler was like, no, you can't. He still trusts Devon too much. He's going to tell Devon. He's like, okay, yo, okay. So after so long, Enzo is finally, Devon is leaving today. David probably won't even have time to talk. He can't wait until she's gone. He needs to get this out. Yo, David, yo, I kept you safe that week I was HOH, yo, that Devon was coming up to me. She was pushing hard to get you to go on the block, yo. That's it, yo. That's what I'm trying to say. And David's like, oh, wow, that's interesting information.
Yeah, there's nothing harder for some of these house guests than sitting on information currency that they can use in the game and being forced to not use it till way, way later. But obviously this was beneficial to Enzo for the reasons you've highlighted. And I think that moving forward, this is a good start for his relationship with David moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So Danny's going to talk to Cody early in the morning. She wakes him up. And I talked about this last night on the podcast because you saw them get into it in the live episode a little bit. She woke him up. The feed's cut for this conversation, but what we can gather from what little we saw on the episode and what little we saw in the conversation, what we saw after, this conversation went something along the lines of, why'd you wake me up? I'm tired. And Danny being like, I have this power. I need to know, like, should I use it on Memphis? I don't want to because it might expose that I'm working with Memphis. And Cody being like, I mean, you got to use it on Memphis. I mean, if Kevin or David win this HOH, we're in trouble. So we have to have as many numbers as possible. Yeah, but it's going to expose me, Cody. That's so annoying. Oh my God. Why do I need to do this for the Alliance all the time? I'm always doing things for the Alliance and never for me. You should use it, man. You should just use it. That's, we need the numbers. Just use it. Just whatever. If they figure it out, he's going to go home this week. If we win, it won't even matter. Oh my God, Cody. Fine. That's how I imagine the conversation went.
I think that's pretty apt. It's pretty hilarious how Danny continuously, this is a power that she's literally said I cried about because it was stupid, and is acting like this is going to be the foil to her grand game that she's played. This is going to be the biggest deal, while we've been saying for weeks, just flush it out, use it, even if it, like, the chances that it'll work are slim anyways. No one's going to think much of it. I just think that at this point, the idea that there's this big gambit that they have to run and they have to, like, pull the wool over the eyes of Kevin, like, just play it. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that deep.
Yeah. So she goes up and talks to Memphis and she tells him about the power and she explains the situation that basically, like, look, I told Devon about the power. So I'm worried that Devon has told Kevin about the power. And if that's the case, then if I use the power on you, then Kevin will know that I'm working with you and he might put us up if he wins the HOH. And So I really don't want to do it. And she puts Memphis in the position where she, like, Memphis is essentially like trying to convince her to, like, whatever, who cares? Who cares if Kevin knows? Like I can pretend that I used it. And she's like, well, no, because he might already know, because Devon knows, because I told her, because I told her in order to convince her to use the veto. And then I did it. I convinced her, and I was in the diary room like, yes, I convinced her. And then she made a fool of me. So he might know, and that's, and then the feed's cut for a while. We don't know exactly what happened, but, at the end of this conversation, they were like, all right, so, you know, you got my back. You know, we're looking out for each other. And the power's going to be used. So first of all, Dany should have just used this power on herself last week. It would have made perfect sense to everyone, and it would not have put her in any particular situation. However, given the fact that she didn't, I feel like she approached this situation all wrong. I've been saying she should use it on Memphis. She should use it as a bargaining chip. She also shouldn't have ever told Devon. There was no reason to ever tell Devon about the power. If she hadn't told Devon, then she wouldn't be in this position. I'm sure the fact that she said she told Devon to Memphis is making Memphis's alarms go off, like, oh, further confirmation that Dany told Devon about this power and not me or anyone else in our alliance, except for probably Nicole, maybe Cody. So it gives so much away how she approached this, and then making Memphis be the one to, like, talk her into doing it makes it seem like he's pulling teeth from her. That she doesn't want to do this for me. I'm convincing her to do something she doesn't want to do. She's not getting anything out of this. In fact, she's just fully losing from the situation. She's using a power on somebody else, and she comes away looking worse to everyone.
This is the funniest thing, because of the fact that her power was so weak anyways. She somehow made a power a disadvantage, because honestly, this was probably, to me, out of the three powers, the easiest one for you, especially when you're in a majority alliance, to just tell people you have. And it's like, hey, look at Dany giving us something to use. You know, this is helpful for one of us winning HOH. Obviously, she won one. So the perfect scenario came up of the only time this is the most beneficial power potentially is when you use it on yourself. Doesn't use it there, fumbles it all over the place. Literally, you could not have asked to give anyone just the smallest power, Taryn, just missed you so grossly. And here's the worst part, right? Well, we've talked about how unsubtle Dany is. I feel like Dany thinks, oh, I just inceptioned Memphis into asking for it. I'm so sick. And it's like, that's not how that is going to play out for you. It's not a good look at all.
Yeah, you know, earlier in the season, it was Dany versus Tyler, and it was like, oh boy, sort of this is a clash of the titans a little bit here. Tyler versus Dany, I wonder which one is going to win, and it looked like Tyler was going to crush Dany. I was like, oh boy, look at Tyler, man, he's crushing the legend Dany. Except now it's Dany versus Christmas, and Christmas is crushing Dany.
Yikes. You don't want to be on the wrong side of that matchup. Like, oof.
Yeah. So we get to the eviction, and Devon is evicted. Dr. Will shows up via, I imagine, recording. And we find out that there is going to be a triple eviction next week. I am not pleased about this, Puya.
Oh, I know. I liked your tweet immediately, because, like, here's the thing. I liked it. I was like, oh my God, I don't think it's a triple. I think it's going to be, you know, now you've coined double double, which the Canadians are going to have a thing to say to you, because that is what you order at Tim Hortons. But I like the term double double. It works. I think I like the prospect of it being that situation where it's like two different HOH reigns. So if someone does something, the other person's going to retaliate in the next round. That's good. However, I saw your tweet about people moving forward being like, we gotta like not do that for the triple. That ruins everything for me. That soured me on it completely. I do not, because I know how irritating it is when BB can seasons happen and we have to talk about how they're avoiding doing things for that. So not ideal, not loving it. It's gonna get, and like Liana brought this up to me last night. This is literally robbing us of all the buildup we've been waiting for. Yes. Literally, this is gonna would have been the most exciting part of the jury phase, and now that's gonna get be clipped in one night as well.
The timing is terrible. This 8-6 sort of section of the game is typically where all of the strategy for the end game comes into play. You set up your end game in this portion of the season, and this is when the alliances bust up and things go wrong and you turn on people. Like this is a crucial part of the season. And if you skip, like, it's like we're sitting through the slog to get to the game. And then we're fast forwarding through the game to get back to the end game slog. Like these are two of the best weeks of Big Brother. Like historically, these are have been great weeks. Like, let me just give you a couple of examples.
Let's go through history.
Ninth place, eighth place, seventh place people. Big Brother 4. The week that Allison wins HOH, goes on a power trip, takes out Dana, followed by Nathan leaving the next week, regretting his decision to use the veto on Allison, followed by Justin leaving the following week. Those three evictions. Big Brother 6, Rachel and James. James finally ending his veto king status in Big Brother 6. Big Brother 8, Dustin, followed by Jen, and then Amber were these three that we would have lost the Jen and Amber evictions that season. Big Brother 10, Libra, April, Michelle. We would not have had nomination replacement nominee roulette if we had a triple eviction in this portion of the game. That was literally, this was the game here. In Big Brother 10, Big Brother 11, Lydia and Russell would have ended up in that spot, you know, minus the Shima incident. And then, of course, the Jesse eviction prior to that. You know, we would have lost legendary Kathy's eviction with the Diamond Power veto, followed by Matt Hoffman. They would have just gone back to back. Big Brother 13, Danielle. Danielle would have been, you know, lost there. Just a little known event that happened in Big Brother 14. Dan's funeral would never have happened if there was a triple eviction in Big Brother 14, because it would have been during a triple eviction and it all just would have happened very quickly. So that would have been unfortunate. The Aaron into Amanda into Alyssa play would never have happened. That was a double eviction, but if it was a triple, it could not have happened because they wouldn't have been able to plan for it. That wouldn't have happened. Big Brother 15, the Polly eviction would have been the Polly into Michelle eviction would have been just all over the place. Taco Tuesday last season would never have happened if not for the if there was a triple eviction. So this is a good section of game. It's a good section of game, and it's just terrible, terrible timing.
Yeah, the whole point of this exercise, aside from remembering how many good seasons we've had in the past that we can go back and look at, is also the fact that, again, we're using all of that goodness and putting it into one episode. So like that episode is blockbuster. I think next week is going to be fireworks. It's going to be fun to watch, hopefully. But moving forward in history now, those people, those legendary moves are going to be a little bit harder to convince someone to do because they're going to be a little bit scared to move forward with it. Like, I don't know. The triple might be looming. I can't be doing anything like that. Or, you know, this, and like I see the argument of like, well, maybe it just, you know, fast forwards us through the inevitable, which is going to be the Kevin go and the David go and like the obvious suspects, maybe. But then in the event that, you know, two bigger names go that we're going to go head to head next week, go in like Thursday instead of going in 2 weeks, that we're robbed of that opportunity. So I definitely see why you're upset, Taryn, beyond just the fact that this is a twist that's going to have implications on future seasons. it will rob us a little bit of history too. Again, we the whole wait for the Civil War. We've talked about how you're into this season because you're into that part of it. So for you to not get that potentially, and for it to maybe even be gone by Friday when we talk about it, that's sad.
It is sad. It is sad. And so that's like, that's where we are. And as you brought up the tweet that I mentioned, I believe the reason Big Brother Canada has not done the triple eviction too often is because they have to have, like, they watch their own show, right? They see the players on the feeds constantly talk about, we can't make the move. We have to wait for the triple. We have to wait for the triple. We have to wait for the triple. Because it's such a big moment in the show, in the game, that you have to, you basically, you have to play your entire game in preparation for that one moment, because it's such a big moment. And we see this in Big Brother US too, with double evictions. We often see, well, we have to wait until the double to make the move, which is bad enough. But if there's a triple, like, it's gonna get way worse. It's gonna get way worse. So, and I also hear I'm sure there are people that are like, well, you're listing all these great moments, but Taryn, those were great seasons. Those were great seasons. This is not a great season. But like, you have to understand from my perspective, first of all, we haven't finished the season yet. For all we know, there is something exciting that's going to happen. And second of all, this is about just their overall decision making. This is a terrible, they made this decision prior to the season starting. Like, they decided the 8-6 portion of the game is where we want to have the triple. That's the worst place. Have it earlier, or something, like just of all these things, come on.
Yeah, no, I think, again, to the fact that it's in this middle chunk where this is kind of the part of the game where you have to navigate more cautiously, I feel like, or like be more critical in your move making. So the fact that this gets pulled and immediately you can just find yourself plopping into final six. Like, that kind of, because, like, honestly, then we get to, like, winning out territory. You are potentially in a position where you could end up running the gambit at six a lot easier than at nine. So I definitely see your sadness, Taryn. I also understand why some people are very excited, because, you know, they've not been happy with their experience with the season thus far. The last couple of weeks have been rough. It's like, let's just keep moving on. Let's move on. But
You'll recall I made similar arguments about wall yellers earlier in the season, and people were like, no, wall yellers are great because of how the season is. Look what happened there. That's all I'm saying. All right. Yeah. So we get to the HOH competition, and Cody has won the HOH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those, let's bid on things, and the HOH is also up for grabs, just like Will advertised that we've seen Will do. We've seen that HOH back in All-Stars 1. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. It seems as though, one of the twists is that we're getting in the competitions that they have options to go for prizes. But apparently it is a secret who goes for the prizes and who wins the prizes. And so it appears that perhaps one of Cody, Tyler, or Enzo won some money, maybe $10,000.
So I read that one of them did win money, like, confirmed.
Oh
yeah. I believe Tyler told Memphis and Cody. No, he told two people that he won 5K is what I read.
There you go.
Yeah. So there was some money involved. Yeah, I don't think this was. Yeah, it sounds like it was golf themed.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yes. So Tyler won some money. I heard that they might have tied and that they split the 10K.
Okay, and we don't know who the other person is then.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Either way, there was some money. Some of the people went for it, like Tyler. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Memphis talks to Danny just briefly afterward that Memphis says that he's like, yeah, America hates us for sure. We've won literally everything. And Danny's like, yeah, this season sucks.
Yeah, it's good that they at least recognize it and they know they're kind of like prepared to see what they're going to get when they come out, because they're not wrong. I feel like even Danny was like, yeah, if I was watching this season, I would hate it. I was like, yep, you're on the nose.
Yeah. So David talks with Tyler and Enzo. I thought this was nice that he says, look, if I somehow in some way win America's favorite player, I'm donating the money to Black Lives Matter causes.
I love that. I mean, obviously it's a long shot for David to be in the running, in my opinion, but to know that that's where his sentiment is, that's where he would want to put it, is that's the best place to put it. So I was very happy to see that and hear that.
Yes. It's David really, I think, like, his gameplay has not always been perfect, but in a house where like a lot of people have made some like real dumb mistakes, like David's worst time in the house was when he was being like condescending to Janelle. Like pretty much everyone else in the house has been way worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy, you know, coming in with these conditions of like being someone who hasn't really played the game, being looked at as a rookie, being dunked on, being, you know, having everyone against you, having people lie on your vote, to do all that and then to still be there standing, still being optimistic, still kind of like trying to ride the wave. Kudos. Like I would like to also acknowledge that I don't rate his gameplay whatsoever, but I am, you know, I can recognize that he's a good person stuck in a bad situation, but he's still keeping calm and still trying to move on. So.
Mm-hmm. So Christmas is going to talk with Memphis. She's sick of Danny. She knows that Danny's going to try and get her targeted this week. And Memphis is just kind of like, who cares? Nobody listens to Danny. Don't worry about it.
I love the Memphis of, hey, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's very, again, very, very ones and zeros with Memphis. Did we win HOH? Yes. Does anything you say now matter to me? No. That's it. Our alliance has it. I'm fine. You're fine. Stop talking to me. It's enough.
Yeah. I mean, it really is like Memphis's catchphrases are, it doesn't matter. Doesn't even matter. That doesn't even matter. And then he'll also be like, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't even matter. You know what I mean? That's Memphis in a nutshell. So Christmas is going to talk with Cody and Tyler about picking have-nots. They want Christmas to pick Kevin as a have-not because they plan on evicting Kevin. And if they evict another have-not, then another one's gone.
The have-not strategy. Who would have thought the have-not strategy would be hatched in this season? But yeah, and like, you know, you can say it that way if you want to. I just see it as you're kicking someone while they're down. It's just brutal. Like, it really is. But I mean, if Taryn, if this happens, if Kevin goes out and then there's only one have not, then they're right. Because I think until that happens, I'm not completely accepting that this theory is working.
Like I said, I love this. I like, again, like, you know, I love the idea of we're going to evict this person, so we should make them a have-not so that we have less have-nots. It's like a little indicator that, like, oh, so I'm the target, huh? Good to know. There's really not a ton else that goes on in the night, but Cody, Enzo, Danny, and Nicole are up in the HOH room talking. They are discussing the nominations. It's obviously going to be David and Kevin. Obviously, as well, the veto needs to be won because there's nobody yet left to put up that is not going to be mad about being put up as a pawn. Danny in this conversation, incredibly unsubtle. Well, have you seen Christmas? She's like so mad. She's like so annoyed that you won, Cody. Like, wow. Like, whew, oh boy. And Enzo's like, I think she's mad she lost. Like, oh, no, Enzo. No. She's mad that Cody won. Can you believe that, Cody? And Nicole's like, no, she was definitely because she lost. She was talking to me about it. And he's like, nah. She's so bothered, Cody. Cody, she's so mad.
Danny reminds me of those instigators in high school. You know, it's like someone will be like, Puya, you're stupid. And then they'll be like, oh, he said your mom's built like a cupcake. And it's like, where did that come from? What are you talking about? And it's like, obviously, you're trying to get us to fight. So it's very, again, unsubtlety is key when describing Danny. I'm telling you.
Where does that come from? Your mom's built like a cupcake.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it is. It's like built like a cupcake, built like pudding, built like a bowl of oatmeal. Like, there's so many different things kids say just to get you riled up. And they just throw your mom in there to really like sweeten the anger.
Okay. Yeah. There was a period of time in like middle school, high school, I don't remember, that we made a campaign to try and change it to your dad instead.
Like, just make it an even situation. It's like, yeah. Enough mom
quality
slander.
Guys.
Yeah.
Christmas is talking to the cameras she was in bed. She gets out, talks and goes to the love room, and she talks to the cameras. She's sobbing. She's having a tough time. She is upset that she lost. She's not necessarily mad that Cody won.
Right.
She's mad that she didn't win because she really wanted to go after Danny this week.
She was ready. She was ready to have that moment, and that's been plucked away from her at this point.
Yes. She says, I hate these people. I don't want to be in this alliance anymore. I really wanted to win because I wanted to make this move. And she's sobbing.
Full on.
Yeah. She misses her family. She says that this I found very interesting. She says, I hope Memphis comes through and we make it to the final two together. I can't have Danny getting further than me. So she wants to get to the final two with Memphis. Like, I think when she says in the diary, I'm still loyal to Tyler. It's because she's a loyal person, guys. Mm-hmm. But I think in her mind, she expects that Tyler's going to get clipped off somewhere. And she's really putting the money in the Memphis basket.
Yeah, like, I don't doubt that should Tyler be making it closer and closer to the end, she would honor that. I would want to go with him. I think it's 100% what you're saying. I think she sees Tyler's credibility being shot a little bit in this house. I think she sees Tyler being talked about, Tyler potentially being someone that will leave. So her contingency plan, all the other eggs are in the Memphis basket at this point. And I think that's not a bad landing spot for her. Now, I don't know. I mean, I do know at this point, I would, if I'm looking at it, would Memphis win if they were at the end together?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little bit up in the air. It's hard to decide.
Memphis is definitely like the right call for Christmas to go to the final two with. Mm-hmm. Like, if she has the choice between Tyler, Enzo, or Memphis, like, Memphis is definitely the call, yeah. Which, like, you know, even that by itself, like, we know Memphis is choosing Enzo over Christmas, which is like, but Memphis is definitely the best person for Christmas to be in the final two with. It's, I think she'd have a decent shot at that point.
Yeah. I mean, a decent shot for Christmas. Everyone else, including us, loses. That would be a very hard, hard finale photo for me to look at. But I mean, listen, we have a while to go. But I do think that her best shot is against Memphis if there's a shot there.
Mm-hmm. So interesting stuff there from Christmas. She says she doesn't want David or Kevin to go this week. She just wants it to be Danny. In the meantime, though, Cody is talking to Danny and she's proposing that Christmas should go up on the block in case of a veto being used. And he's basically like, well, you know, maybe I could get Nicole to talk to her, feel her out. Like, if she's going to be mad about it, though, then I don't know. I don't know if I want to do it. And he's like, would you want to send her home? And she's like, I don't know. Like, she would, like, I don't know. Maybe. Because, you know, you do still have Kevin and David in there. It might depend on who's up on the block. She should want Christmas to go. She doesn't realize how badly Christmas wants her out.
Yeah, honestly.
He's still like undecided at this point. They talk about, I'm not sure what Cody would do, to be honest. I think Christmas is probably the right move, but I don't think the votes aren't there to send Christmas home. No. There are six votes. So you need four to evict. If Cody wanted to break the tie to evict Christmas, then he could go with three, but Nicole doesn't want Christmas to go. Tyler doesn't want Christmas to go. Memphis doesn't want Christmas to go. So, and those are his three of his closest allies. And then you got Enzo. So four votes right there. You'd only have like Danny and Kevin or Danny and David who wanted Christmas to go. It would be a similar situation to the last couple of weeks. It just like, it doesn't really make sense to make that move unless Cody really feels like Christmas is gunning for him, which isn't really the case. She's gunning for Danny, which he's fine with. So, but he might put her on the block as a pawn so that, either David or Kevin goes home, because it doesn't really make sense for him to target anybody else. And it also doesn't really make sense to pawn anybody else because Christmas is already anti-Danny. And if he puts Christmas on the block and Danny campaigns against Christmas and fails, then that's just further fuel against Danny instead of him. Although he might end up on the block next to Danny, but that's actually fine because Danny would definitely go. So Christmas definitely makes sense as the renom. But I think in his mind, he's still kind of just keeping it vague because might not even have to deal with that situation.
Yeah, I think that Cody genuinely is banking on someone that will not use the veto, winning the veto so that he doesn't even have to go that way and think about that. But if you do all the calculations and you look at it, Christmas will probably end up being the easiest slash best choice to put up as a pawn in that situation. But I do think that the fact that Cody won meant that this is the person least likely to want to do anything outside of putting up David and Kevin, because why would you want to, you know, again, let's go back to the apple cart. Why would you want to upset it? You're in a good spot. You don't need to do anything else. Just put the easy move up. So he's going to be banking on this veto 9 times out of 10.
Yes. This is definitely a bad outcome for Kevin and David, who could have been safe with a few different other outcomes. And the looming triple eviction is also really bad for whichever one of them survives, because everyone is primed to take the shot at Danny in the double. If they do take the shot at Danny in the triple, there's going to be another one right after, if that's how it works. If it's not how it works, then it still doesn't really matter. You still have to get rid of two people. So it's like, okay, we get rid of Danny in the first part. Now what do we do? We haven't planned for anything else at this point. So the only way forward is, I guess, David. It could really screw somebody like David over, who otherwise would probably be fine for a while after the first shot is taken within the committee.
Yeah, I do think that if we're looking at the pending triple slash double double, the only outcome where David is safe is if the first person who wins the HOH takes a shot at, let's say Danny wins, takes a shot at the boys. Then the next round, the boys win, they take a shot back at Danny. That way, David's safe. But
that's best case scenario for David. Yeah.
Yeah. But more often than not, that's David might end up being the first casualty, or it's our side just won both. We already got out the one person we wanted out of the group. Let's just go back and get rid of David again. So,
yeah, it's basically, unless if this week goes as planned and Kevin goes home, unless Danny wins the first part of the triple eviction, or the only part of the triple eviction, depending on how it works, I would definitely fear for David in the rest of it, because I think basically anyone else, especially since Cody isn't playing, would go for Danny. Maybe not Nicole. Nicole would probably take the shot at Tyler, but she also might want David gone. So she might just take out David and then leave it up to the next one. I would definitely say Tyler's in some danger as of right now. Danny's in a ton of danger. David's in a ton of danger. So we'll see. I mean, there's a long week to go. A lot could happen this week with a veto, but we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen here. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of analysis to be had for possible triple eviction outcomes.
Oh yeah. And that's at least that's a silver lining, right? For a week that would have just been an easy week, now we're going to get a ton of time and footage and thought process behind what could happen, who could go up. There's so many different combinations. Like, that's the silver lining for you, Taryn, if you're looking for one.
Yes. And again, for as much as I think this is a bad idea, I will not hesitate to enjoy what I can from it, which is that it will hopefully be an exciting moment, at least. That's what we've kind of experienced in Big Brother Canada, that it ends up as an exciting episode, an exciting moment. It just kind of makes everything around it. It like sucks up all the goodness into one spike. And then everything else is like, oh, dry and barren. Which again, I'm sure people who are like, this season is already dry and barren. It unfortunately can infect future seasons as well. They talk about the Danny and Cody. They talk about the votes for Devon to stay. And Danny is denying that she voted for Devon to stay, that she says, well, obviously Nicole voted that way because of jury management. But I did not. And he was like, and I thought for sure you did. And she was like, nope, wasn't me.
Again, who's left? Who's left that this vote can be pinned on? David. Once we're back at it again. Let's pin it on David, pin the vote on the David. It's unfortunate. It's awful. So actually, you know what? I'm saying it's awful. Do you think this is a good move for Danny or
no? There's no way Cody does. There's no way Cody believes her. She has lied about her vote before, and she just lied about a vote last week. There's no way Cody believes her. And he's probably looking at her like, this woman really thinks I'm stupid.
Yeah, it's insulting. And that's the thing. The Danny's unsubtlety also makes it seem like she assumes you're the stupidest person to fall for any of it. So no, it's not good. It's stupid.
Yeah. So they also talk, Danny thinks that they're talking about like who might go after who, because she mentions that Tyler is still someone to worry about. But she thinks that Memphis is going after Tyler based on her conversations with Memphis. She doesn't realize yet that Memphis is actually after her. And so the fact that Memphis is after Tyler is good, because that's covered. Those angles are covered.
Yeah, well,
so that's where she sees it. Like she's a little bit concerned about Christmas because Memphis isn't after Christmas. She's not as concerned about Tyler as much anymore because she feels like Memphis is after Tyler.
Right. When you assume that someone else is going to do some work for you, you tend to not look at that as part of your tasks anymore. It's like, oh, I delegated that off my plate now. Misread, though.
Yeah.
Misread.
Nicole's going to talk with Enzo. They talk about how annoying Danny was up in the HOH room, so obviously trying to get Christmas out this week. Like, what is she doing?
It's this. See, and these subtleties, Taryn, these little jabs that they're throwing, this is what we've been waiting for, right? This is the excitement. This is the buildup where these are the cracks that are starting to form. So if they all just get sorted within one night, not fun. But because I want those stabs to hurt. I want the blood to draw. I don't want it to be a quick fix, bada boom, it's down. So that's why I'm upset. However, this kind of music to my ears to kind of hear the cracks start to form.
Yes. They talk about how it's good that Christmas is going after Danny, which is good. Good for us. Nicole says she hopes that Cody would make, like, if Cody wanted to make a move, hopefully he'd make a bigger one than Christmas this week. And I'm trying to think about, like, who she means by that. I have to imagine she means Memphis or Tyler. That she would prefer Cody go after one of them. Those are the two people she feels least comfortable with at the moment. And I think that obviously Tyler is somebody that she's worried about, but Tyler's going after Danny and she knows that. But Memphis is close with Christmas and she doesn't feel comfortable with Memphis either. So I do think that she could mean either one. Maybe that's why she was vague about it. Like, just a bigger one than Christmas, either Memphis or Tyler.
Yeah, I think it could be either. If I had to pick one, I would assume Tyler, but I mean, it could be either. Then the fact is you don't want to like name names at this point. So it makes sense.
So that's kind of where they say Nicole makes it very clear that like we're not gonna vote out Christmas. Like, that's just we're obviously gonna Enzo kind of wants Kevin and David both to stay in the game. He kind of feels like he can pick them up and you know, get them to go after Danny, but he doesn't really like this is a situation again where like all of his other allies are gonna be like, I don't know about that. And I don't know if he's willing to drop Christmas for it, especially since he'd have to vote. Like, he's in a final three with Christmas. This might be Enzo just kind of fronting to Nicole to hide his final three with Christmas. Obviously, Enzo can't campaign or vote against Christmas without Memphis's okay, or he loses his final two with Memphis, which is just not worth it at this point to save Kevin or David. So, as I mentioned, really doesn't seem like the votes would be there unless something major changed for Christmas. Enzo is going to go and talk to Kevin. Kevin's like, the girls are denying their votes again. Can you believe it? Kevin says that Day told him that Danny was throwing Cody under the bus last week. That Danny was talking some mad smack about Cody, and that Devon should like go against Cody and stuff like that. And Enzo's like, "Oh, you should tell Cody that, yo." And Kevin was like, "Oh, I'm nervous too, because I feel like Danny's really close to Cody, and he might tell Danny." And she's obviously close to Christmas in Memphis too. Here's why I know this: Devon also told me that Danny had a power to allow an HOH to compete again, and she just used it on Memphis. Danny has been playing us this whole time. She's obviously aligned, like Danny's exact scenario plays out exactly how she thought it would.
Yeah. Again, this, when we talk misplay of your power, this is it. This is it big time. And I think Kevin, obviously this is information that could help him. The person who's in power, you actively have information that you can used to prove that you were willing to work with them, that you have information that is, you know, someone was plotting against them, whatever you want to say. But we've seen time and time again this season, Kevin is not the type of person to play from the front, to play early. Kevin needs to sit on the block and sulk for 3 days and then maybe consider using this information. I don't think this is going to go anywhere for Kevin.
Yeah. So that's basically the day here. So again, the plan for the week is going to be Kevin and David. Kevin is the target. If one of Kevin or David win, and I think their chances to win will be slightly higher than normal because there are prizes that, you know, somebody like Enzo, I fully believe, will gun for prizes if he's in the veto. Even Tyler might feel comfortable gunning for prizes if he's playing in the veto. Like, what does Tyler need another veto win for? Tyler's not the one that's going to be, you know, sitting on the block if somebody comes down. So, although we might hear Cody be like, Hey, you go for prizes in this veto. You know, the people who played in the veto are eligible for pawn status. If somebody comes, that's actually a good strategy, I think.
Yeah. I think saying that would help.
Yeah. So who knows? But, if one of David or Kevin come down, I think if David comes down, we'd probably see Christmas go up and Kevin go home easy. If Kevin comes down, we might see a push for Danny to go up and for Danny to go home. It is possible that we see that push. I do think there's a non-zero chance that that Danny could be leaving this time next Thursday. But I don't think it's super likely. But look, if Christmas, Memphis, Tyler, and Enzo are all going to Cody, like, come on, man. Are we really going to take out David? Let's just get rid of Danny right here, right now. You know, Nicole's not going to stand in the way. I don't know if Cody feels like it's worth taking a stand. I don't know. It's possible. But look, don't like expect it. We're probably going to see Kevin leave.
Right. Like, let's not get too excited because most likely it's not going to come to that. But it is, there is a chance, and that's a thing you can hang your hat on. But here's the thing. So we know confirmed it's Otev, this veto.
I believe that. I didn't hear it myself on the episode, but we talked about it last night, and apparently other people did. So yeah. I didn't go back to check, but I'm pretty sure people are saying it's Otev. Yeah.
So if it's Otev and it's there's prizes involved, I'm curious because if it still follows the traditional Otev, you know, format, but then where do the prizes come in? Are the prizes kind of like, instead of taking like the name of Davon, who was the answer, you take like the washer dryer combo like package and you bring that to Otev? I'm not sure. So we'll see how that plays out too.
So what happened, I think, in this HOH is that they had a few shots, like three shots or something.
Okay.
And you could go for like the HOH holes, or you could go for prize holes. And so it was possible to get, you know, an HOH score and then also go for prizes.
Right.
So I guess my guess would be in Otev is that like there are your usual answers. And then there are also prize answers that you find, right? Like one of them will say Caitlin all or whatever, and one of them will say, you know, portable DVD player. that was what they gave away in like Big Brother 2.
Yeah.
And or like $5,000. And so my guess is that you'd be able to grab the real answer, and then if you think you have time, try to find some prize answers as well. You bring them up, you throw them all in, and that's how you can get prizes.
Yeah, where like you basically have to sacrifice potentially your chance to get to the podium in time for the prizes, in exchange for the prizes.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah, like you know, you can spend more time down there to grab those prizes, to look for the prizes or whatever. But we'll see. I mean, it would be very public versus the private sort of version in the HOH, apparently. So
yeah,
it that might really discourage people, especially if Cody's like, hey guys, come on, don't put me in the spot where I have to put up a pawn. He'd be pissed. So we'll see.
We shall see.
Anything else you want to bring up, Puya?
Not falling for this trap. This is not happening this week. No, honestly, there isn't anything to talk about really. in looking at everything. What's it called? Kevin obviously is a little bit mad at Christmas for picking him for Have Not, because his whole thing is, you were mad that you didn't get a heads up and then you didn't give me a heads up. That's hypocritical. So if Kevin stayed, he would throw it back to Christmas. So I'm like, even if anything, for like multiple reasons, but I kind of want to see Kevin stay just to do that. It'd be a fun jab. But also with the triple coming, maybe they just abolish Have Nots altogether after this. Who knows? That's one thing. And then Enzo volunteered for Cody to put him up just so that Enzo could eat different.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been eating too much.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know, put yourself on a forced diet. Boom. You're ready to go.
I mean, I think it's a little risky for Enzo, considering his problems.
Yes.
But we'll see. Hopefully he's going to be all right.
Fingers crossed for Enzo.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. Again, not too much to update overnight, but I'm sure there's going to be plenty to talk about for tomorrow, talking about everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And we will be live tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to talk about all of that. We'll see. Cody's probably going to talk to people. We're probably going to figure out what his actual plans are for a renom. We know that he just humors Danny when he talks to her. So we haven't really gotten a full sense of what he actually might do. And even in the conversation with Danny, who is like pretty hesitant on Christmas as a renom. So it's possible that that's not even his plan at all. And that it might actually be Danny for all we know as of right now already. So we'll have to wait and see about that. Yeah, that's what we've got for you. Tomorrow we'll have a roundtable, a Legacy Watch roundtable. We'll check out how people are doing with their legacies. And then Sunday we're going to have an episode recap. So check all of that out. Pooja, what are you up to?
So I am doing a couple of things, juggling a couple of balls out here. I've got the Masked Singer podcast back and running. Season 4 started this week officially, so episode 1 is already out there. Me and Liana got together and talked about all the nonsense there. I was fired up. Please check it out. Also, 90 Day Fiance, the finale of Happily Ever After wrapped up, but they're doing a 3-part tell-all, so like the reunion is 3 episodes long, and that's going to be the next 3 weeks. I've got a couple great guests planned for that. You might know one of them. You might have podcasted with one of them last night, so spoiler alert there. Otherwise, I'm doing my Twitch thing. You know, I'm doing my late night streams on Friday. So check that out, twitch.tv/Pooja-ism. And then Twitter, Instagram, Pooja-ism, if you're trying to find me on social media, saying what I feel when I feel it.
All right. You can, of course, find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaren or on Twitch, twitch.tv/TarenArmstrong. Thanks again for joining us today. I'll see you next time.